Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Thomas Strange, and with me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mike Manning, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and today I'm drinking a American Hefeweizen from Santa Clara Valley Brewing.
Santa Clara Valley Brewing in beautiful California. How's the weather out there?
It is beautiful. It is almost worth all the money I'm paying in rent.
Not quite, but almost. Tommy, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Winchester bourbon. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I'm doing great today. I'm once again drinking some beautiful, beautiful Thompson's Water Seal Scotch. Thompson's Water Seal Scotch. When all you got is $15 and you don't have a job, you stupid bastard. Thompson Scotch. I'm having a great day, by the way, also. And Josh, how are you and what are you drinking there?
I'm doing absolutely mediocre, and I am drinking the Von Trapp Oktoberfest.
Ah, then you want to be a Nazi, but not a bad Nazi! Von Trapp! We're Austrian, so it's okay!
Was it?
Sorry, that kind of went off and metastasized into its own thing. Speaking of metastasizing, we're going to be talking about Metamorpho, one of the more misunderstood superheroes of the DC universe, and also one of the more powerful ones. But I always thought he had kind of a cookie-cutter personality that I never really quite jibbed with. Mikey, you want to give us a little background on everyone's favorite bouncing baby ball of rocks and elementals? Yes.
Sure. Rex Mason became Metamorpho, the Element Man, back in 1965, first appearing in The Brave and Bold, number 57, created by Bob, I don't give a shit about continuity, Haney. He has been a member of both the Justice League Europe, the Seven Soldiers of Victory, Doom Patrol, the Justice League, the Terrifics, and the Outsiders. He is an elemental shapeshifter who has super strength and invulnerability. And his origin story is pretty easy. He is a intrepid adventurer. He is going into a tomb, discovers the Orb of Ra, gets trapped in there, and the Orb of Ra transforms him into Ra's avatar on Earth, the Elemental Man.
Pretty standard stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty standard.
Yeah. He is in love with a girl who has an overbearing father. The father also, this is Simon Stagg, his daughter Sapphire Stagg has, depending on which series you want, is either in love with Rex or not sure if she wants to be with Rex because her daddy doesn't approve. It's kind of all over the place. But one thing is certain, that Java Stag's caveman henchman is a dick. Yeah, I said it. I'm willing to go on a limb there. Okay. So he has appeared in all kinds of comic books. He had his own 17-issue series back in the Silver Age. And he had a 4-issue miniseries in the 90s after he had made some appearances in Justice League Europe. But for the most part, he's never been a very successful hero out on his own. He's mainly been members of teams. What do you guys think? What's your favorite Metamorpho story?
So I have to say one thing in researching Metamorpho, because I've only seen him in fits and spurts. And clearly, yeah, like he's never had like a long-standing dedicated run in anything. And either somebody on the internet is updating all of the information about Metamorpho, or it's just a fantastic coincidence, because this line shows up everywhere. The character has been moderately popular since his introduction in 1965. That is the running description of Metamorpho on multiple websites. Moderately popular since 1965. I feel like I'm drinking like a generic Pepsi, and that's the tagline at the bottom.
Drink Tab. It's been moderately popular since 1965.
Just like Metamorpho.
Just like Metamorpho. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Tab is Metamorpho.
Oh, my God. We finally connected the dots.
We've finally connected all those dots. Metamorpho, to me, I the character really did have a cookie-cutter kind of personality, that, bumbling superhero with a heart of gold kind of thing that runs through a lot of different tropes and types. That seemed to be Metamorpho's lot in life. Unlovable monster character who is uses comedy and humor to kind of assuage the fact that he's this giant monster being. I did like him in The Outsiders. I think that's the only long-running comic book I read where he was a running character in it. And those were really good for a long time. I enjoyed Batman and the Outsiders back in that run.
So I agree with you. If you're going to read any of Metamorpho stories in Batman and the Outsiders, you should check out issues number 17 and 18 of the original run of Batman and the Outsiders. It gets into very in-depth onto the origin story and how he came about his powers. But he had another part of him broke off and formed its own personality named Shift. And Shift was a member of the Outsiders when Nightwing was in charge of it. And he was actually a much more interesting character. In fact, it's sad to say, I know he's moderately popular, but I don't find him popular at all. I would say Shift was a better character, and even more so, Elemental Girl has a much more nuance to her than the Elemental Man, and she's just a blatant ripoff of the character. But if you get a chance to read Neil Gaiman's Sandman issue number 20, it is Elemental Girl who she got her powers because she was trying to be Rex Mason's partner, Metamorpho's partner. She exposed herself to the Orb of Ra, got the same powers, and then he didn't want to be with her. He wanted to be with Sapphire. So she's just left as this freak, and she just wants to end her life. And it is a beautiful story where death comes to visit her and helps her with what she really wants. And that's ending her pain and suffering of life, which is what everybody in the end gets. It's a beautiful story. Have you guys read it?
Not, but it's going on my list, Mike. Sandman 20, you said?
Sandman issue number 20. Yep. If you're
so for me, it's hard to pick like a single Metamorpho story that like really is a Metamorpho story that calls out to me, because they're all so similar. They all have these basic elements to them. You know, Metamorpho is always trying to save Sapphire Stagg. And usually it's because he's been working for Sapphire Stagg's dad, and Sapphire Stagg's dad put him in danger. And it's the same story over and over again with just slightly different environments and conditions.
It's kind of sad because he has such a cool power set.
It does. It seems like he could be one of the most powerful people in the DC universe if he, you know, had, you know, more of a Mr. Terrific sort of mindset. You know, but he's like so focused on Sapphire Stagg that it just seems like all of his stories are very one-dimensional.
I was going to say, I agree with you, even in the Terrifics, it's still that same storyline that he's got. He has been moderately popular and his character hasn't developed since 1965.
Yeah, it seems that way.
There might be a connection there.
Yeah, if you do want to check out some interesting Metamorpho stories, go check out Justice League Europe, number 5 and 6. 5 is the introduction of Sapphire Stagg into his life, where he doesn't remember her at all. So that's why he's interesting in Justice League Europe. And he's trying to figure out who this chick is and why she keeps on saying that they're married, even though she's also a man. Really weird story. And issue 6 is even better, because that's when Justice League Europe decides to learn French, and they're in the same class as the Injustice Gang. It is one of the funniest issues of Justice League Europe. So check out those two issues back to back if you're in a Metamorpho mood, but you don't want to get bogged down with his tired old schlep.
That class sounds hilarious. Like all the Justice League are saying, I keep the lingerie in the bureau. The lingerie is the bureau. It's the only two French words I can think of right off the top of my head.
Well played.
You mentioned that that's where your favorite ones were. I do like some of the Brave and the Bold ones. They were definitely Monster of the Weeks. Standalone stories, not a lot of continuity. Oh, someone's robbed a bank. I'll turn myself into a suitcase made out of lead, and they'll, you know, pick me up and take me back to their lair. Something like that. But they were still kind of fun and interesting. But talking about power sets, he could be really powerful. We were talking last week, you know, if you want a guy that can turn himself into just a giant thing of chlorine gas, that's your guy. He could do it. If you want a guy who can turn himself into a giant cage made out of kryptonite, boom, Rex is your boy. There's not a lot of superheroes or villains out there that he probably couldn't figure out a way to defeat. And his one weakness, of course, is being thrown into the sun.
Yeah.
Which probably wouldn't be a weakness if he actually thought about it. His one weakness is not being good at chemistry.
Yeah, if he was good at chemistry. If
you think it'd be a study, you know, you become a student of the game at that point.
Although, right? To show you how powerful he is, go into Grant Morrison's first issue of JLA. It's issue number one. And in it, the Justice League satellite is attacked. And he has to save the other members of Justice League International by making himself the escape pod and providing them with turning part of his body into oxygen, trying to cool everything down by creating Freon. He ends up dying as a result of it crashing into Earth, but he saves all the other members of that team in probably his most heroic act. And it does go to show how powerful Metamorpho could be if he was used effectively. And that's probably the only time I can think of him being used really effectively.
Yeah, Chemistro would be a really terrific, because Chemistro had that stupid chemistry gun, and he was just a really good chemist. Could you imagine if he took over his body? That'd be awesome. You know, stopping that dude.
Right. And the boys basically have a direct allegory of Metamorpho, and I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember it either.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Elemental Douchebag.
He definitely was, a little rapey, and he's definitely Elemental Douchebag.
We'll do Elemental Douchebags another day.
Yeah. That'll be a goat.
That'll be a goat.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the goat, by the way, Tom?
Douchiest elemental character.
The goat, which was pretty much ruined by you, was greatest beam character to have on your team. Projectile.
I was just saying. I was just gonna say. Yeah, I thought you were just gonna say the goat is our extra podcast for our Patreon only. You can go over to patreon.com/thelongboxguys, and for a mere 25 cents a week, just $1 a month, you can get our extra podcast, the greatest of all time. That's what I thought you were gonna say, Tom. Before you just shit the bed.
That was super informative without giving anything away.
Yeah. You gave Good away job, like a nickel worth of information, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. 7.5 cents down the drain.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Does anyone have any last words on Metamorpho?
Honestly, it's one of the power sets. When I think about power sets I would want, it's one of those. When I think to myself, that guy, he's doing it right.
But
he's got it going on.
But you'd be a monster a little bit. I mean, he can't really change all the way back. He has changed all the way back to human in spurts, but usually he's back to looking like Metamorpho.
Yeah, I'm a fucking monster anyway, Tom. Skip past it.
You're not that bad.
If you want to watch a Metamorpho cartoon, go check out the one episode he's in Young Justice, The Outsiders, because he is a perfect member to be on a stealth team.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That's a good episode.
The other thing that interests me about Metamorpho is that prior to becoming Metamorpho, he was a mercenary. And yet after becoming Metamorpho, he doesn't seem to do that anymore. You'd think with his power set, he'd be a really good mercenary.
Well, he kind of
be turned into chlorine gas guy? That'd be a great mercenary.
I'm just saying, he could take out tons of people just, you know, by knocking them out with chloroform. Just turn into chloroform, knock them out.
If you're not a physician, using chloroform usually ends up in people dying. I'm just saying. Like, Mike, well, you know, there's no such thing as knockout gas.
Yeah, there is. It's just a permanent solution. It's a temporary problem.
People are very quiet for the rest of their very short lives.
Very quiet.
Anyway, he could be very sneaky. He could sneak up on people as a gas, knock them out very easily as a person.
Just like he did in Justice League or Young Justice The Outsiders, the cartoon I just talked about, LT.
Yeah.
He'd be very effective.
Shit out of that island. It was an island, right?
He's going to go into that island a womping and a whoop.
Killing everything inside except for the women and children.
Oh, he saves the women and children?
Nope. He rapes the shit out of them at the chloroform gas dance party later on that night.
All right, somebody go back and grab us a shit ton of nickels. Let's get out off of this subject.
Yay! All right, then. So that was the last word on Metamorpho. Once again, I thought he was kind of a cookie-cutter character, but if you want someone on your team who can cover a lot of bases, not a bad guy.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
So, Mikey, who we got at the front of the Long Box this week? Hopefully not Metamorpho.
I do not. At the front of the Long Box, I've got Lois Lane. That's right. Lois Lane is back. The First Lady of Comics has her own 12-issue maxi series being written by friend of the podcast, Greg Rucka, one of my favorite comic book writers of all time. And he has decided to take a look at what Lois Lane would be like in a environment like we currently have, where some people refer to the press as the enemy of the people. And he is holding, he's taking on no prisoners. If you are into comic books reflecting the times, this is a perfect comic book story for you. It discusses freedom of the press, governments killing journalists just by publishing what they want. It also does have a couple appearances by Superman, but he's tertiary to the whole story. It's Lois Lane and her friend trying to uncover why all these big government contracts for holding families at the borders are going to LexCorp and Stag Corporation and all these other villainous corporations in the DC universe. It's really good, and I know you're going to love it, Tom, because it has Renee Montoya as the Question in it.
Ooh, she's going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, she is. And she totally hits on Lois Lane.
I ship that 110%.
Yeah.
I ship the heck out of that. Tommy, what do you have to go back in the Long Box?
I've got John Byrne's Next Men. Ooh. Or, as I like to say, John Byrne's take on the X-Men. Because it has a lot of the same sort of themes as the X-Men. This is a series from the 1990s, but it was bought up and reprinted by IDW about a decade back in 2011. And this series, Tom, you're going to like it because it has a lot of social things going on. It deals with white supremacy. It deals with abortion. It deals with teenage sex. It deals with a lot of social issues in it. Josh, you're going to hate it because it's got some time travel in it all over the place.
Damn it.
Josh, Lois Lane has no time travel, just saying.
But, you know, it's a product of the 90s, and, you know, the storyline is the main characters are similar to mutants. They are people that have been genetically altered to have this genetic gene that makes them special, that gives them superpowers through experimentation in secret government labs. They break out and things start happening and things run amok. The real big difference is that they spread this triggering gene by having sex with people. So everybody that has the potential to evolve into this, having this superpower, could potentially get it by having sex, which is something different than other comic books. So it's
a super STD.
Kind of. It's an STD that gives you superpowers. Yes.
So it's a super STD.
So it's a super STD.
I would fuck everything on the planet Earth to get superpowers.
Would you fuck a radioactive spider?
Yeah, I would fuck your nose, hoping there was a radioactive spider in there.
But Josh, would you be willing to deal with time travel?
If I have to go back in time to fuck everything twice to get superpowers, I will get through.
Would you do me in the dirt hole in the past?
What's that?
Would you do me in the dirt hole in the past? Not knowing what superpower you're going to get in the past because you hate time travel.
Yeah.
All right. Just roll the dice. You might, get the shittiest superpower ever.
Yeah.
All right.
What if your superpower is cyanide touch? It'd be really hard to pass on the STD.
You gotta find the person who's immune to cyanide. Right.
Yeah.
Just saying.
One of the super characters was invulnerable. So when people touched her hair, they started to get cuts on their fingers, or they could cut off their hands if they were trying to grab her hair. So that was kind of an interesting twist on things because every piece of her was invulnerable.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that.
So I mean, there were different little twists in it, but it was very similar to, a take on the X-Men where it was just kind of being chased. They were looked at as terrorists. They were blamed for things they didn't do, there was a senator who was a white supremacist who then became a vice president that then became a president. So it was also a little prophetic to current times.
Well, I got to say that if you are interested in the series, you can find the next men in bargain bins all over the place. I see it all the time in 25 cent, 50 cent bins. So if you don't feel like jumping into a lot of investment, just go look for some of them and see if you like them before you shell out the big bucks for a graphic novel.
Sounds smart. You're a pragmatist, Mikey. Speaking of pragmatists, today in my social justice corner, I just want to recommend Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's comic book, Freshman Force, New Party, Who Dis? I saw that in the comic book store today. I was actually at Friendly Neighborhood Comics today, Josh, where they treated me like a king even before I said I was your buddy. They're so nice. That place is clean. And I didn't name drop just to get any extra attention or help. They were super nice to me. And this comic book is a lot of fun. It's not as informative as you might like. It's a little lighthearted, but it is a fun little comic book. If you're interested in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you're not going to learn a lot of information, but you're going to have a lot of fun reading this comic book. Sorry if that was a bit of a tangent, because that's your purview, Josh. Josh, you got a tangent for us?
So this week is an anniversary of something that I'm not going to mention for someone who I love. But I'm wondering, in your lives, what dates really do you think about? I'm not talking about holidays, but is there a day in your life that ever comes to mind and comes around every year that you think about and it makes a difference in your life or impacts you in some way?
Not a day for me, but a time. Anytime I notice that it's 4:44, I think of my dad. He gave me one gift before he passed away, a shirt with the number 44 on it. Every time I come across the number 44, I always think about him. He always pops into my head. So I never guess the 4th of April or anything, I never actually think about him because I don't know calendars that well. But when I see 444 hit on a clock or like 144 hit on a clock, I'm always brought right back to, gee, I kind of miss my pops.
Have you ever looked up what happened in like April 4th of 1944?
No.
Just curious.
Random I have thought. A very
it's a tangent on my tangent. Yeah. Mike, what do you got?
I don't have a very good thing with calendars.
Anything? Any days that interrupt your life? Make something happier?
Oh, happier? Oh, I
No, it doesn't have to be happier. It could be anything.
No, I was thinking something sadder. Every January, I think about my lost partner. Thanks for bringing that up, you son of a bitch.
Killed him a lot of duty, right, Mike?
Wait, what day was it? It's not just January. I know you know the
day. There's two different days. One was the day he was run over, and then the other day was the day he finally passed away.
He finally passed away. Yeah. Am I going to get you to cry? Come on, Mike.
He lingered for 9 days in a coma where his brain continued to swell even though his body healed. Would you like to hear about his 5-year-old son?
Is it going to make you cry?
No, it's not.
But never mind.
So while we were doing the podcast, his mom actually texted me a photo of him at the local comic book shop picking out comic books.
And how old is he now?
He is 8.
He's 8.
No, 9. Damn it, I'm a horrible uncle.
Did your partner like cheeseburgers, Mike?
He did like cheeseburgers. Tom, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate your story. LT, you're a son of a bitch. Josh, you're a son of a bitch. LT, what do you got for a date?
Yeah, LT, what do you got?
Well, you know, every year when Bilbo Baggins' birthday comes around, I get a little sad because it was also my mother's birthday.
Aww.
And she's no longer with me.
Along with anybody
thrown into the volcano with the ring, I assume.
Wow, this is a great podcast.
This shit got dark.
And Tom's laughing about it. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I was laughing because I said she's not with anybody, man. It's not just you.
She was terrible at making cheeseburgers.
She was.
So, Josh, now that we've talked about dead friends, dead dads, dead moms.
Oh, we got one more to mention that as long as it got brought up. Today's the 3-month anniversary of the passing of our good friend, McCoy. Yeah.
Which is clearly what brought this up.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. I have a bad thing with calendars.
This was a fucking morbid segment.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah,
it's really.
Yeah,
we just brought this all the way down.
Yeah, my dead dad, his dead partner, your dead mom.
How could I cheer up Abby about that shit?
She can just listen to us cry like little babies.
That's right.
Oh, she had me crying today. Oh, my God. I'll tell you after.
Well, here's to our fallen and the dates we miss. Love you all.
Cheers.
Cheers.
If you've got a dead relative or friend you'd like to talk about, go ahead and tweet us at the Longbox Guys, and we'll share it with everyone. Hey, remember this date? Oh, this person's going to be really sad about this. Yeah.
That's right.
And if you don't feel like tweeting us, you can always write us at luckybastard@thelongboxguys.com. That's right. Tell us about your dead friend or relative at luckybastard@thelongboxguys.com.
The one who has the saddest story gets a graphic novel. What graphic novel is he going to get this month there, LT?
We haven't done giveaways.
I don't know. We'll pick something out.
Do we have Death, the High Cost of Living?
I was about to ask. A death one would be perfect.
I don't actually.
Oh, my. God, you're just killing it tonight.
Bada boom! That's awful.
Yeah.
Let's move on to plugs. I'd like to plug Friendly Neighborhood Comics. I went to their shop today, and they treated me like a king. They looked really, really hard for an issue number 2 of Second Coming for me. They found everything else I was looking for right off the bat, and they were super, super nice. Yeah. And that place was clean.
Yeah, finally they have a comics. They're great.
Well, I'd like to plug More Fun Comics in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's where Finn was shopping today. It's a great little comic book store that took care of me for years while I lived in New Orleans. Even after Hurricane Katrina, they were still getting my comics for me, and I appreciated that. Also, we'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And our fellow podcasters, Cheryl Jones over at Movies Made Me, which you can go to mmmpodcast.com to find all their links. Or you can go to whosnextgaming.com for Seth Meyers and the boys for their podcast information.
Well, I have one more podcast and comic book tie-in that I would like to do. Whoa. You don't get a lot of comic book podcast tie-ins, but Thrilling Adventure Hour has put out a comic book. And if you can go to get the Thrilling Adventure Hour comic book, the writers really tuned in. They really figured out how to get that comic book to feel a lot like one of those old-timey radio shows. I'm really enjoying the Thrilling Adventure Hour comic book. I think you guys will, too. So go look for it. And also, of course, listen to the podcast.
We should also plug Los Angeles Comic-Con. If you are going to L.A. Comic-Con and are going to be there on October 12th, go to see our panel, Horrible, Horrible, Horrible Stereotypes in Comic Books, at 11 a.m. October 12th. That's Saturday. And I don't know where it's going to be, but fuck, check the schedule. What, do I have to do everything for you? God damn it.
Yeah. LA is a great city. It's a great con. Get in there, enjoy the town, and fucking come see us. It's amazing.
Yeah, and if you're in the Reno, Nevada area, October 8th, 9th, and 10th, go check us out. We will also be doing Horrible, Horrible, Horrible Stereotypes in comic books at Reno Pop Culture Con.
That's right. If you're in Reno, you're probably a rabid bear or a coyote with a gambling problem. Get in there and come see our convention.
You could also be a ghost. There's a third choice, ghost.
Hey, Mike.
Usually it's a ghost of a coyote with a gambling problem, but okay, sure.
But okay, fine.
Six of one, half dozen of another. What do you got for us, LP?
Yeah, fitty, fitty.
Reno is in November, not October, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.
Because he announced L.A., but he didn't actually announce dates for Reno.
I did. And
He announced them in October.
Wrong? Yeah, I was totally wrong.
So way
I
off.
Was going to call him out on it, but I didn't know if I was right.
Yeah.
I would like to plug Bedrock Comics here in Framingham, Mass. And also, I would like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
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 Hello, Timmy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyor of fine T-shirts and other geeky things such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, socks, and other geeky things.
Well, that'll do it for one of the more morbid and sad episodes of The Long Box, guys. Way to bring it down with a tangent at the very end there.
I mean, metamorpho into something morbid.
Yeah.
He's only moderately popular.
He's only moderately popular. And he can transform into grave dirt.
This is going to be, right. I'm going to predict, this is going to be only our moderately popular episode.
A metamorpho, he could transform into a grave marker at will. Yeah.
You went too far now, LT.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
What do you think? Yeah, you're not helping.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's this, Mikey, what's this podcast like to you, sir?
It's like reading Our Army at War and just the Gravedigger sections.
Tommy, any last words for us?
No pun intended. Still need a job.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The Great Beyond. Josh, is that your sector?
No, I don't believe in it, but carry on.
My wayward son, I will. Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll all live a lot longer. Have a great night from the Long Box, guys.
But not as long as our friends.
Her sister's ex-boyfriend, she refers to as the sexual intellectual because he's a fucking know-it-all.
The sexual intellectual.
I love it. I wear that T-shirt all day long.
If only we knew somebody who could make that T-shirt for us.
Oh, yeah. If there was only an Ian Leno, we knew.
Yeah.
Sexual. Yeah.